On this week's recap of the Hays City Commission meeting, Hays Post reporter Becky Kaiser discusses the R9 Ranch and more with City Manager Toby Doherty and Commissioner Sandy Jacobs on this episode of the Post Podcast.
With a recap of last night. Yesterday afternoons, the meetings now start at 4 o'clock. How do you like that, Sandy, a 4 o'clock meeting instead of 6:30?
You know, for me, I'm retired, so I don't really care one way or the other. But the 4 o'clock, the purpose of it was to allow our staff and everybody to have a better quality of life. You know, they can go home. They don't have to come back at 6:30 at night. And I didn't think about it until the county did it, made a change. I didn't even think we could change such thing. Turned out everybody was kind of in favor of it, and I think our staff and all of our associates really love it at the city.
I've noticed, Toby, the last couple meetings that this has been in effect. The department's heads are there, which usually they're not unless they have something on the agenda. So a lot more people in the audience now.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the department heads you see at the meetings now, they would have probably pulled it up on YouTube and watched it. You know, from home or maybe at their desk the day after, something like that. But now they can just come in and keep abreast of what's going on.
And oftentimes there'll be a question pop up that maybe one of them could get up and answer. So that's kind of cool too.
And from my perspective, I like it too. So good job. That was your idea. Sandy.
That was my idea. I'll take that one.
Clapping for Sandy this morning. So returning to yesterday afternoon's meeting, we had unanimous approval of the 2023 street maintenance program. Eight areas of projects being worked on, depending on what kind of work needs to be done, Toby. And this is something really interesting conversation last night about Hays didn't used to have such great streets. And Sandy, you've talked about this off and on. When, you know, traveling, you check that out. And Hays has good streets. And that is a concerted effort now by the city.
It absolutely is. And again, you know, if you get old enough, you remember all the bad stuff and the good stuff. And I do remember the terrible streets. And I remember when the city decided we are not going to be this kind of a community. We're going to start making a difference. We're going to, because that's our job. And I think the mayor said that last night. Mm-hmm. You know, infrastructure and safety, that's what we're all about. When it started, when whoever was on the commission at that point in time, 15, 16 years ago, when they really began understanding that was important, and we're going to do it every year. And Toby can quote the numbers a lot better than I do, but I think we used to set aside $500,000 a year.
Couple hundred thousand.
Mm-hmm. And now, last night, what was it, $1.5 million? It's just, you go to another town, you drive this, and you just expect that's the way it's going to be because that's the way our streets are. You get to another community, and I could name a couple that I won't, that you go through and you think, what are you doing with tax dollars? You know, I mean, it's just a disaster. We don't have that here. They have really good streets.
Toby, tell us, so you mentioned a little more than $1 million, and you said that last night, that's the goal is to spend approximately that each year. Where does that money come from?
Money comes from a combination of places. We get gasoline taxes that's collected and distributed by the state. We get an allotment from KDOT of a couple hundred thousand that we allocate towards street maintenance, and then we transfer money in from the general fund to help pay for street maintenance. And so what we try to do is to hit at least $1 million every year. Last year we had some cash carryover, so we had a little larger program than normal. But this year we would have, without that, we still would have spent over $1 million on streets.
You mentioned yesterday the 0.75-cent sales tax that voters approved, and that helps.
It does. And so, you know, streets, like a lot of infrastructure, you put it in place and you forget about it. And so we built a lot of concrete streets for a lot of years. And concrete streets are very slow deteriorating. And then in the 70s, we started building a lot of asphalt streets. And, you know, asphalt streets, if you don't take care of them, they'll degrade. But they take a while, you know, before they get past the point of no return. And so it was the 90s before they realized that they were way behind the curve and they just didn't have any money. And at the time, they were spending a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, if that, on streets. And that included reconstruction. They might get the occasional KDOT grant for reconstruction, the, you know, the 80-20 type grant, and they would bond out their 20%. But they just didn't have a lot of money to spend on streets. And so one of the big selling points of the 0.75-cent sales tax to fund the general fund, and that was in 2004 when the residents voted on that, The issue was we're going to stop levying a property tax for the general fund, We are going to institute a 3/4-cent sales tax for the general fund. It's going to bring in more money than we need right now. It'll allow us room to grow into it, but we're going to take that excess money and spend it on streets, and we have. And so that has allowed us to go from $150,000 a year on street maintenance to over $1 million. And it's allowed the city commission to pull monies off in the form of their commission capital reserve money. And that's where we pay cash for projects. So South Vine, 27th Street, 8th Street, 13th Street, Allen Street, those are all projects city commission's paid cash for, either cash in full or cash for our 20% for a project. And that's all because of that sales tax being in place.
That's such an important thing. I even forget about it. Because when I first became a commissioner, I talked about it all the time, you know, how we pay cash for, and that we were doing 8th Street about that time. And it's phenomenal to me that had the discipline to be able to do something like that and actually pay cash for Allen Street was a $4 million project, mm-hmm. I think. You know, we paid cash for that. That is, that's credit to staff, and that's credit to how we manage our budget. And we're good, and I think there's a lot of cities in the state that would trade places with us all day long.
Well, Toby, I've asked you this before. Hayes, as far as we know, is the only city that does that, pays cash for these kind of projects
Kansas. Yeah, I believe so. And we're kind of the only city that doesn't levy for the general fund. There are other cities that have sales taxes, obviously, and some of those sales taxes support the general fund, but they also have a levy that helps support the general fund. So we are kind of unique in that regard too, but we're taking advantage of our position where we have a very high retail pull factor. We have a lot of people from outside the city that come into town and they use our streets, they use our parks, they use our fire and police services, you know, when necessary. And so this allows them to help pay for that and keeps our local taxes lower.
Sandy, we mentioned the South Vine project, and that is essentially done. At least the driving lanes and the stripes are done. And we know that they missed the deadline and went into what's called liquidated damages. What is that exactly?
I'm going to let Toby tell you what liquidated damages are.
Liquidated damages is a penalty that's put in place when a project doesn't come in within the expected time frame. And the penalty is put in place to incur the cost to oversee and manage the project or cost associated with the project running long. So it's not necessarily punitive in nature, meaning just to punish somebody for being late. And there's state laws surrounding this. There has to be some actual cost involved, but it's also not nebulous. I mean, we can't calculate some derived cost of a traffic delay on a street, and apply it to the community and then try to say this is the liquidated damages. So there has to be some sort of a realized punitive damage. And so on South Vine, I believe it is $1,600
a day on the
liquidated damages. And that is about what it costs us to do construction inspection for the project. So you have the contractor that's actually building the project, and then there's an engineering firm. And in this case, it's Kaw Valley. That's actually doing the construction inspection to make sure it's built according to specifications. And they cost about $1,500 a day. So without liquidated damages, every day they work over, we would have to spend $1,500 that, wasn't expected as part of the project. So in this case, the LDs cover the cost of inspection.
Well, and the state, they requested an extension of the project from the state, and the state didn't give them a winter shutdown. Correct me if
Correct.
I'm wrong as
You're
I'm
right.
going through this. They didn't give them a winter shutdown. So they would have been, had they not finished it and waited to start till next spring, they'd have had $1,600 a day all that time until they started again. So there's an incentive for them to get done. You know, these big construction companies have a lot of crew all over the state, and they can pull in when they need to. And I think this is a perfect example. They just brought in the crews and said, we're finishing. Got it done.
Well, it's good to drive there.
Yeah, and Smokey just got caught up in a worker shortage. Yeah. They do great work. The product is great that they're building. They're a top notch company. They just literally got caught up, and they had too many projects and not enough workers, and so they had to allocate workers where they could. And I'm sure we weren't the only project they received LDs on.
Right. No doubt. Well, in our remaining time, I want to focus on the R9 Ranch project. Toby, you gave an update to the city commissioners last night, and there's a lot of information here, but you are baffled in some ways and optimistic in others.
So I want to make sure we stay on the positive. The positive is we are navigating the transfer process. This is what we've been building towards since 2014. Is to get to the water transfer process and answer the statewide question of, does bringing the water up from the R9 benefit the state of Kansas more than it benefits it by just leaving it there and doing nothing with it? And that process has started. It's a process that takes about a year. We hope to be finished sometime next summer and be out of this, and then be, you know, hopefully letting the project to bid. So this is something that nobody's ever done. No entity has enacted the water transfer process. So we are sort of blazing our territory here. The bad news, and it's not really bad news, it's more annoying news. The end of the first part of the regulatory process that allowed us to transfer to transition to the water transfer process, there was a legal proceeding that was appealed. Now, we won the legal proceeding, so we're moving forward. The plaintiffs didn't like it, and so they appealed it, and we made a motion to file it to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court accepted it. So their appeal is going to go to the Supreme Court. We're very confident the Supreme Court's going to uphold what the judge in Edwards County ruled on it. But it is kind of an annoying diversion, and so we have to deal with that. Now, our attorneys are going to satisfactorily deal with that. The state of Kansas's attorneys will satisfactorily deal with it. But it's kind of money unnecessarily spent and kind of taking away from our concentration on the actual transfer process itself. But we can maintain two fronts here. We're fine.
Sandy, you said last night you're angry about that extra money. I was amazed at the inflationary cost that will likely be incurred.
There's inflationary and there's actual hard costs. As Toby mentioned last night, our hard cost increase is probably a couple million dollars. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that like it's nothing. That's a couple million dollars. We could do another street. But in the scheme of things, the inflationary factor, we're going from 70-some million to 120-some million over this period of time. And by the time we actually start, unless things really go crazy backwards, we're looking at more than that. It's frustrating. It needs to be over. We've done everything we should. We stayed under the line of the statutes. We've done everything and more than was requested of us by the statute. We're done. We're ready.
Toby, we've got a couple minutes left here. Bottom line, people may not understand this. We want to make sure they do. The city of Hays, along with Russell, own the R9 ranch, and the amount of water that the cities will take out is less than what was being used when it was still ag land and being irrigated for crops.
Yes, Hays and Russell own the water rights. They bought them on the free market. We have the right to utilize them like any other water right owner. When we converted the water rights from irrigation to municipal, we went beyond the regulations. There's regulations put in place to protect adjacent water right owners to make sure that the new use doesn't use more than the previous use. We actually went 30% beyond those voluntarily. We didn't have to, but we went 30% beyond that to ensure that we use the property sustainable. And there is a group of irrigators in the area, including some of our neighbors, that have taken opposition to this because they don't like the optics of the project. And the thing that upsets us the most is just the hypocrisy of the arguments. These same irrigators are causing the impairment to the Quivira Wildlife Refuge. This is a documented impairment that they're causing, yet they won't cut back on their water usage. They won't cut back on their water usage at all. I've pulled the water use reports from all of them around our ranch, and nobody's cutting back on their water use down there. And in fact, during times of drought, they're pumping more, and they're asking for special consideration to pump more than they're allowed during the time of drought. But yet they turn around and in quite a hypocritical stance will say that us cutting 30% and agreeing to sustainability is somehow going to harm them. It's a bizarre argument. We don't get it. So it's frustrating, but you know, when you are a public entity and you are navigating a bureaucratic regulatory process like this, there are opportunities for people to try to wrench, you know, throw a wrench in the system. And that's what we've had to deal with. It's cost us money. It's cost us time. But we're confident we're going to prevail in the end.
And it's the first time this has been tested. There's people standing back watching. And I'm sure, should we be successful, when we are successful, I should say, you're going to see other things come out of it as well. We're blazing trails, and that's a good thing.
This is I believe, as the mayor said last night, Mayor Mason Reuter, every day is an R9 ranch day this year. We've made lots of progress so far.
Yep.
We're making lots of progress, and you're probably going to see an R9 update every month. We've got a hearing next week in the transfer process. And that's going to, I'll give an update on that after that's happened. And then by the time that rolls around, we're probably going to have another Supreme Court update and more updates on the transfer. So, and then the design contracts that are going to be put in front of the commission here in a few months. Lots of R9 stuff in the future.